All right, today's daf in Masechet Brachos is daf Yutes. We're starting on Yud Ches Amud Beis, Avud Shmuel. The Gemara is interested to know how do the dead know what's going on in this world? Do the dead know what's going on in this world? To this, the Gemara now told us a number of amazing stories, and the Gemara continues to tell us a number of stories regarding how the dead relate to this world. Tashma, the Gemara starts off, Davud Shmuel ka mafte gabe zuza diasme. So Avud Shmuel, we hear about time and again throughout the Gemara, so he was entrusted with coins. Coins of Yisomim. So orphans entrusted him with coins. And good. So he was now safekeeping the coins. Kikinach nafshei lav Shmuel gabei. So he died, and his son Shmuel, right, hence the father's Avud Shmuel. It's interesting. Avud Shmuel is always called Avud Shmuel. He has not given a name on his own. He's just simply known as the father of Shmuel. Shmuel wasn't by his father's death. So that now means that he was entrusted with the coins. He kept them somewhere safe and secret, and he didn't divulge the secret. So So now rumors started circulating, says the Gemara, and people started saying, this is a family who steals money from the Yisomim, because now the Shmuel would love to return the money to the Yisomim. He just doesn't know where the money is. So he goes to the Beis HaKvaros. And now he's going to try to have a conversation with his father. That's correct. He's now going to have a conversation with his father who is not in this world. So Amalahu bina Abba. So now he makes an inquiry in terms of finding his father. He says, I'd like to speak to Abba. Now, Abba in this context does not mean my father. That was actually his father's name. Abba was a very popular name in the time of the Gemara. So Rav went by the name of Abba as well. My Rebbe back in YU was also went by that name. So in the time of the Gemara, it's a popular name. So I'd like to speak to Abba. So Amrle, Abba Tuva Hikahacha. So he says, plenty of those around here. So that's not enough of a description in terms of helping you find your father. Amrlehu Beina Abba Bar Abba. Okay, so maybe this will help. It's Abba Bar Abba. Now, yes, of course, it's strange. He was named after his father's name. Okay, but that's Amrle Abba Bar Abba Nami Tuva Hika. So they said that's also very popular. So Hacha. Amrlehu Beina Abba Bar Abba Avud Shmuel. Okay, so how about this? So he's Abba Bar Abba, he's also Avud Shmuel. Okay, in other words, he didn't want to give his credentials, but okay, he's my father. So Heicha, Amalei Salak Lemesifta Derekia. So he's learning up in the Yeshiva Shomala. So Adahachi Chazil Aleved Yosef Abrai. So okay, so in other words, so his father's not available because his father's learning the Yeshiva Shomala, and everyone understand. I don't know, have a clue as to what's going on right now. You understand? It's just I say over the Gemara, but you know, this is to the limited understanding of what we can understand. So he's learning the Yeshiva Shamala, so good. So Levi's outside the Yeshiva Shamala. Levi's not learning inside the Yeshiva Shamala. Amaleya, Mayasaf Davrai. So his inquiry to Levi, again, Levi's now one of the Mesim. So his inquiry to Levi is, so why are you learning, why aren't you in the Yeshiva Shamala? This is Levi. He's a contemporary of Rav. He's a contemporary of Shmuel. You would think that Levi would also be learning in the Yeshiva Shamala. So my time alo salakta, so why didn't you go there? Amalei, Darmali, called Kihanach Shane, the lo salikta limitifta de Rabbi Afas. Because I was, while I was alive, I was stubborn. I was obstinate. I didn't learn by the yeshiva of Rabbi Afas, and apparently that was by design. It wasn't just simply he didn't get a chance to learn there. He decided not to learn the yeshiva of Rabbi Afas, and for that, his punishment was he was left out of the yeshiva Shomala. Now, I caused Halisha's das to Rabbi Afas, and because I did that to Rabbi Afas, so therefore I don't have allowance. I'm not entitled to go into the yeshiva Shomala. So, lo my Eilina, lach. So good. So that was his conversation with Levi. We're going to return back to the conversation with Levi in just a moment. In the meantime, meanwhile, asa avua. So now he finally runs into his father. Apparently they called his father from the Yeshiva Shamala. He comes out of the Yeshiva Shamala, and now dad is now speaking to the son. Dad is not in this world. The son is in this world. Rashi explains this is now dad's reaction. Avu d'shmuel. He cries and he smiles when he sees his son. Amrle maitama kabachit. So let's start off with, why are you crying? So amrle dela ago ka'asyas. Because I know your number is being called. So Avu d'shmuel has the misfortune of having to have to tell his son now that I know that you're going to be coming up here in a matter of very few days. So my time achicht, okay, so that explains the crying, so why you're smiling? Dechashifta baha amatuva, because I also know what your place is going to be in this world, and you have a prominent place in this world, and that's why I am smiling. Amrlei ichashifta neala lelevi, good. So if I have such a prominent place in the Yeshiva Shamala, so here's what my first request is. And he's asking before he gets there. I want Levi to get in. In other words, I understand why he was left out, but I want him to get in. Let him get in on my accord. Va'ayla le'Levi, and they did exactly that. So now he's still talking to his father. Amalei zus diyas mehecha. Where can I find the money? Amalei zil shaklina ba'amta derechaya. Ilavet asadidanu m'tzia diyas meh. So go to the millstone. Now there are three parts to the millstone. The upper part, the lower part, and the middle part. And I stored money, I tucked money away. In the upper part and the lower part, that's our money. If you go to the middle of the millstone, that's the Yisomim's money. Amalei my time avadahachi. That's interesting. So Shmuel says to his father, why did you do that? Amalei igenuvi ganave migdivim mididan yachla ara achla mididan. Because if ganavim are going to come, they'll steal the top money. Meaning that's our money. So what? It's just our money. And if there's a little bit of a ground swell, so the ground will swell up over the bottom, which is our money. Again, what's the big deal? It's just our money. But in other words, but that way, the Yisomim's money will be protected in the middle. Amed Yadeh, good. That's the end of the story, and the whole point the Gemara brought the story in is to show once again that they know what's going on in this world. So the Gemara says, Delmashani Shmuel, Kem Dechashiv Kadam Emachritz Penei Makam. Now, I'm sorry, Panu Makam. So it could very well be that maybe in general, no, they don't know. And it could just very well be, meaning, what did he know? What did Avuah d'Shmuel know? Well, he knew where the money was, but so what? Meaning, that doesn't prove anything. He knew that while he was alive. What he knew was that Shmuel was coming up to Shemayim. He knew that there was just a couple of days until Shmuel was coming up into Shemayim. And so how do you know that? So the Gemara says, you see over here that the Mesim know. They know things. So which the Gemara says, it's not such a raya, because it is Shmuel. And maybe Panu Makom, maybe they made an announcement up there saying everyone's going to make some space, everyone's going to move over because Shmuel's coming up. So not in general they know things, maybe they don't, but in this particular case they knew about Shmuel. The Gemara continues, we're on the bottom of the Amud, V'af Rav Yonasan Hadar Bey. And Rav Yonasan also had Charata. He recanted on his position, Dam Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmin, Dam Rav Yonasan Minan Lamesim Shemesapim Zeim Zeh. How do I know that the Mesim do have conversations with them, one another? Shenamar. This is now one of the last words that Akash Baruch Hu has with Moshe. And he says, this is the land that I promised Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov Leymor. Now the word Leymor, my Leymor, Amar Akash Baruch Hu Lemoshe Leich Emor Lahem. The word Leymor is a contraction. Whenever you see the word Leymor in the Torah, it is Moshe's instructions to go and to relay the message. Leich Emor. And here's what I want you to do. Meaning, you're about to go up to Shemayim, and you're going to meet with Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, and you're going to tell them that I made a promise to them. I told them they were going to get Eretz Yisrael, and I kept my promise. Now, this is interesting because this is Moshe right before he died. Everyone should be thinking about this question. Meaning, the promise wasn't yet fulfilled. Meaning, that's exactly the point. Moshe died without the benefit of going to Eretz Yisrael. So the language of Kvar Kiyamti Levnechem, I already fulfilled it. It's a little bit difficult to understand. He's about to fulfill it, but the words Kvar Kiyamti Levnechem, that's difficult to understand. We're on the top of your testament, Aleph. V'yisakadach adolo yadik amr luhum I have. So the Gemara says, okay, now, what do you want to tell me? The Mesim don't know what's going on in this world? So what point of a conversation would there be between Moshe and Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov? Obviously, to them, it's important, and they know what's going on in this world. But then the Gemara says, okay, Elamai, Diade? So good, so you're telling me they know what's going on in this world. So Lama Lameim Elohu. So then, why would Moshe have to tell them? Meaning, if they know what's going on in this world, so without a conversation and without Moshe talking to them, they're going to know. HaKadosh Baruch Hu fulfilled his promise and brought Bnei Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. So then, why would Moshe need to have a conversation with them? So the Gemara says, "Lachzuke leituvasal Moshe." So they can give a pat on the back to Moshe Rabbeinu and say, "Yishakach, great job." Amar Rav Yitzchak, kol mesapa acharei hames kiilu mesapa acharei haavin. Anyone who speaks about a mace after he dies, it's like speaking about a stone. Now, what does that mean? So, based on what the Gemara we did all of yesterday, and we finished up with this morning, so the Gemara says there are really two ways you can understand what this means. So, number one, it could mean that they don't know what's going on. As the Gemara has vacillated back and forth over this position, do Mesim know what's going on in this world? Maybe yes, maybe no. So let's right now assume no, they don't know what's going on. So good, so you speak about a mace. He doesn't know that you're speaking about him, so he just doesn't know. Or maybe he knows, and just simply he doesn't care. Meaning he's beyond this world, and he's beyond all the smallness of this world, so you speak about him, and he realizes, what's the big deal? It doesn't matter. So the Gemara says, okay, but I will tell you this. Rav Papa tells over a story that one person was speaking about Mar Shmuel, and presumably in the context of the story, speaking not nicely about Mar Shmuel, and out comes a beam from the roof, hits him in the head, cracks his skull, opens up his brain, and so the Gemara says, it sounds like they know what's going on. So, and not only they know what's going on, they're offended by what's being said. So Shani Surba Mirabana de Kutcha Brichu Tava Viakare. So the Gemara says, no, Mar Shmuel wasn't offended, Akash Baruch Hu was offended. Meaning he's a Talmud Chacham, and therefore it was the Talmud Chacham who took, it was the Akash Baruch Hu who took offense to the crack on Mar Shmuel. I'm Rav Yeshua ben Levi Kalmasapar Achar Mitasun Shatamid Chacham Menofa Begehenim. Gemara says now, speaks about the ills of speaking against Talmidei Chachamim. The Gemara speaks in very strong terms. Anyone who speaks about a Talmid Chacham, Achar Mitasun Shal Talmidei Chachamim. Now here, sounds like speaking about a Talmid Chacham after he dies, where he doesn't even have a chance to respond. So Achar Mitasun Shal Talmidei Chacham Nofa Begehenim. So the Gemara speaks in very strong terms about someone who does such a thing. Shenamar V'hamatim Akukolasem Yolichem Hashem Es Poalei HaAven. So people who are matim, the word matim from the word hataya, they are inclined. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes them to Po'alei Oven, which is the Tanakh terminology for Gehenim. Shalma Yisrael, Afilu B'shasha, Shalma Yisrael, Yolchem Hashem's Po'alei Oven. And the last words of the Pasuk, Shalma Yisrael, means that even when there's Shalma amongst the Jewish people, it doesn't matter. Meaning you're not inciting, you're not causing any type of rift in the Jewish people, but still, in of itself, it's wrong to speak about Talmidei Chachamim after they're dead. Certainly, you could argue also, while they're alive, it is wrong. But in other words, after they're dead, where they don't even have a chance to respond, in of itself, it's wrong. And the Gemara speaks in very strong terms. Tan debe Rav Yishmael. Im re'iz tamar chacham she'aver aver balayla al tehar acharav biyom. In the context, in this context, I guess, the Gemara over here segues into the discussion of, what if you see a tamar chacham doing something wrong? So to which the Gemara says, you're down the kafzchos. Okay, you got to judge them favorably. Now, here in this context, judge them favorably means you see them doing actually something wrong. Meaning, if you see them doing something ambiguous, not just the Talmid Chacham, but anyone for that matter doing something which is ambiguous, so you're down the kaf tchus. Meaning that if it could go in a number of ways of what he's doing, so assume the best. Fine. But in other words, if you see a Talmid Chacham doing actually something wrong, so then you can assume, says the Gemara, Al ta'arach harab yom, shema asa tshuva. He did tshuva. Now, the Gemara's first way of presenting it is Shema asa tshuva, maybe did tshuva. The Gemara says Shema sakadacha ela vada asa tshuva. The Gemara says, no, it's not a Shema, he did do tshuva. V'hanim lo b'dvarim shebegufa, the Gemara says, now, that's if the Avera has to do with his guf. Ava b'mamono ad demahad delamare. But when it comes to his money, the money has to be returned. It is insufficient to just simply assume that he did tshuva. When it comes to money, money is a little more difficult. And money, you have to actually know that it was returned in order for it to assume that tshuva was done. Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. On this topic now of speaking ill about Talmidei Chachamim, the Gemara now is going to take us nearly to the bottom of this Amud in discussing where do we find the Mishnayos, this idea of speaking about Talmidei Chachamim and speaking ill about Talmidei Chachamim. Amar Rav Yishuv ben Levi, B'chav dal makom was beizdin menadin al kavod harav. You're going to look through the Mishnayos and Shas. There are a lot of them. You're going to go through the Mishnayos and Shas, and you're going to find 24 places in Mishnayos and Shas where somebody was put into Cheirim over a breach of Kavod HaRav. So he spoke ill about a particular Rav, or about a particular Beis Din, and he was put in a Cheirim. V'kulin shanina b'mishnasenu. And you're going to find them throughout all the Mishnayos. Good. Okay, so now we pause, and now we're going to go through every Mishnah and Shas, and we're going to look for the 24 places in the Mishnayos and Shas. Okay, maybe not. But Amalei, Rav Elazar, Heicha Amalei. So that's exactly what Rav Elazar wants to know. Right, where are we going to find these? So Lechi Tishkach. So he says, okay, good. So why don't you go look? Nafak Dak. So he did exactly that. Okay, he had the wherewithal. He knew his Mishnayos. So he went and he went through all the Mishnayos and Shas to find the 24 places. The Ashkach Tlas. So now in his search for the 24 places where were Menade, so he found only three, with 21 not found. So let's go over the three. I'm a zalzam Natilas Yadayim, somebody who makes fun of Natilas Yadayim, the whole inyan of washing hands for bread. And then Mesapra Chemitasna Shaltimide Chachamim, speaking about a Tamachacham after he dies. And Hamegis Datu Kalpe Mala, and someone who acts arrogantly to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says, let's start off with number one. We're going to go through three Mishnayos now in Shas. Truth of the matter is two Mishnayos, but you'll see what I mean. The Sota, if she behaves in a certain way, where she secludes herself with a man after having been warned by her husband not to seclude herself with that man, and she does so anyway, so she now is a Sota. Now, we don't know what happened in that room, but she now is legally status-wise, she's a Sota. And she may not be with her husband until she drinks from the Mei Sota. Now, according to the Chachamim, according to Akavya ben Mahalalel, right? He's a Tana. We see him, we just saw him in Masech Tanida, right? He was the one who was of the opinion that yellow blood is considered blood, and it'll make a woman a Nida. So Akavya ben Mahalalel says that we'll give the Mei Sota to a Jew, but not to a convert. Now, he has Psukim, he darshins, fine, but that's his position. The Chachamim Omrim Mashkin, and the Chachamim disagree, and they say no. A Giyaris is entitled to drink the Mei Sota. Okay, entitled, by the way, is a funny word. Maybe entitled is not the right word, but you know what I mean. She can drink the Mei Sota. And he says, and Maisa Shahaya, I'm going to give you anecdotal evidence. Because we found that Shmaiva Avtayon, they were the Zugos that came right before Hillel v'Shammai. Shmaiva Avtayon actually gave a shifcha mishuchreres, a freed shifcha. Now we all know that when a shifcha is freed, she converts. Right? It's a direct relationship. Her freedom equals conversion. She actually tovels in the mikvah when she's freed, and she converts and she becomes a full fledged Jew. So the truth of the matter is that she is a gioris. So and shmaiva avtayon, she now becomes in a sota situation, and shmaiva avtayon gave her to drink from the mesota. The amar lehem. Now I shudder before I read the next words of the Gemara. And now he, Akavya ben Mahalalel, said about that story, Dugma Hishkua. Well, and this is tremendous cynicism. He says, well, you know Shmaiva Avtayim, they themselves were Gerim. So they themselves were a little bit biased. Meaning, maybe they thought that a Ger had the full status of a Jew because they themselves were Gerim. And so maybe the halacha is not the case. Maybe the halacha is that you don't give a giyaris the mesota, but they, because of their own personal experiences of life, felt differently. Okay. Now, that, of course, is reflecting a tremendous amount of cynicism, and they're speaking very ill about Shmaiva Avtayon, and by the way, that's what we spoke about. In other words, certainly speaking about them after they're dead is wrong, but Shmaiva Avtayon, I don't know if he was alive at this point or not. Presumably not. But anyway, so va'amalam dugma ishkua v'niduhu. So to that statement of Akavya ben Mahalalel, they put him in Cherem. So this is the Mishnah. By the way, I didn't point out. This is the Mishnah in Adios. Fine. So this is the Mishnah in Adios. So we find now our first Mishnah in Shas that has somebody speaking ill about a Talmud Chacham, and he was put in Cherem. And the word used in the Mishnah is specifically, V'niduhu. Umeitz b'niduyav. V'salku beithin esarono. And furthermore, when Akavya ben Mahalalel died, And apparently he was not a chozer b'tshuva. He didn't recant on his position, and so he died in his nidui, in his cherem, and so they stoned his aron. Okay, that is Mishnah number one. Okay, Mishnah number two. Hamizazam atilas yadayim mayhi. Did not number of Yehuda chas v'sham shakavya ben mahala nisnad desheina zar ninelas al kol adam b'yisrael b'chachma v'tarav v'yirachid b'akavya ben mahala. Now this is a continuation of the Mishnah in Adios. So, now, the second part of the Mishnah says basically the following. You're wrong about the person, and you're wrong about the incident. Meaning, we have over here, this is a strange machlokas. Meaning, in the Mishnah, what we're arguing is seems to be we're arguing over the facts. The fact is, Akavya ben Mahalalel was not put in Cherem. In fact, he says that when the Azara closes, it doesn't close on somebody more significant and smarter and more tahor than Akavya ben Mahalalel. So in other words, I totally disagree with the fact that Akavya ben Mahalalel was put into Cherem. And not only that, but the story's wrong, meaning you got the story wrong. Ella, es minido, who was put in Cherem, es Elazar ben Chanoch, shepikbek ben Atilas Yadayim. Because this whole thing with Atilas Yadayim, wash your hands over bread, what's the big deal? It's bread, it's chulin. Even if your hands are sheni, we know your hands cannot transmit tumah over to chulin, over to bread, which is just chulin. I understand Kohanim need to wash their hands, but their hands are sheni and the truma susceptible to tumah. That part I get, but the rest of us, what are we doing? Netilas yadayim, it doesn't make sense. And so he questioned the whole infrastructure of netilas yadayim. And when he died, it was his Aaron that was stoned. And by the way, one of the takeaway points from this is that if somebody dies while in Chayrim, so Beis Din stones his coffin. Okay, so that's one Mishnah. That's a Mishnah Adios. Now, it's granted that the Mishnah presents a machlokas of who the culprit was. Was it Akavi ben Mahalal? Or was it Elazar ben Chanoch? But the point is that in this one Mishnah, we have two stories or two incidents where somebody was put in Cherem over either making fun of a Talmud Chacham, right? Knocking down a Talmud Chacham, Shmai Vavtayim were the ones who were being knocked, or making ridiculing Netilas Yadayim.
What's it mean, the stoning of the coffin? Is it just so
I don't know what it may be. Maybe it's just to show the others. In other words, that he was censored. So, Amegis Dalto Kalpe Malamahi, we have a third mission that we need to go through. This is a mission in Tanis. Did Nanshach Lo Shema Meshetach Lechoni Amago. Choni Amago we're all familiar with. The story in Tanis we're all familiar with. It needed rain in Eretz Yisrael, didn't rain in Eretz Yisrael. So Choni Amago drew a circle in the ground, stood in the circle and said, I will not move from here until it rains. It rained a little bit. He turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, no, that's not what I want. It started raining torrential. He turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, no, that's not what I want either. And finally, he adjusted the thermostat until it rained exactly to the way it wanted to rain. So, Tsarich Atah Lehiznados. Now, the Mishnah tells us that the conversation between Shimon Meshetach and Choni Amago was, you know, Choni Amago, the way you spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was inappropriate. And Rashi over here, it's an important Rashi over here, Tzarech HaTal Esnados, Rashi says, Lefishi Yitriach Lefnei HaMakam Alesa Keshamim. He just spoke very bluntly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the rain, Lo Kach Sha'alti Kama Pamim, and he actually said, Lo Kach Sha'alti, that's not what I wanted. So he spoke in that type of way, the covered HaMakam covered HaRavu. And Rashi says, and the covered HaMakam is covered HaRav, meaning, remember, the whole, right, when we bracket this entire Gemara, it's all breaching covered HaRav. You took a look at the original statement of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, his original statement was Chavdal Mekamos based him and Nadin al Kavod HaRav. So this is not a story of Kavod HaRav. This is Choni Amagel talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi says it's the same thing. It's the same type of lack of reverence. It's Kavod HaRav and Kavod HaMakom is the same. So the right, it fits in with the Gemara. We're all familiar, right? The Gemara says Es Hashem Lokech Atira, where the was. Who is it? It was Shimon HaMsuni. Right. He was trying to darshan every S in the Torah. And he couldn't, and he got through most of the S in the Torah, right? Kabit es avicha v'esimecha. So the S over there, who are you supposed to honor in addition to your parents? So your oldest brother. Okay, fine. So Hillel enjoyed that. No, Hillel, you're not the oldest. So the in Boca you are, but that's about it. So the but when he got to the pasuk of his Es Hashem Lokech Atira, so he didn't know what to do with that pasuk. Meaning, I'm supposed to fear Hashem and who? And he just didn't know what to do with it. So he had this whole doctoral thesis, and he gave up on it because he didn't know what to do with the word S. And finally, was Rabbi Akiva? Yeah, it was Rabbi Akiva came along and said the Es Hashem Lokech Atira is referring to Talmid Chachamim, meaning right that you're supposed to not only fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu but fear Talmid Chachamim as well. Meaning, so that the yira of Talmid Chachamim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu are somewhat on the same. In other words, obviously not the same, but you could put them on the same basic platform. So here also, so it's a breach of Kavod HaRav and Kavod HaMakom are basically the same thing. So based in Sokolin Asarna, Amegis Dato Kabe Mala. Do we do all this? Yes, we did. I'm sorry. Let's go on. So Agozrani Alecha Nidui. We're in this Mishnah and Tanis. So you're also going to be put in Chem. You're also going to be put in Nidui. Aba Ma'aseh Sha'ata Mischata Lefnei HaMakom V'Otzel Chavur Soncha Keben Shemischata Lefanav. Lifnei Aviv, va'oselo ritzon of alacha kasav omer yismach avicha v'yimecha v'taga yulatecha. Good. So we have this mission in Tanis, and they wanted to put Choni Amago in Cherem, but it's just what am I supposed to do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to you, so you're disrespectful, but he seems to listen to you like a father listens to a kid. The kid's a little disrespectful to the father, And somehow, you know, if the kid is liked enough, the kid gets away with it, and apparently you're liked enough and you get away with it. But you are speaking disrespectfully. Good. Those are our three Mishnayos in Shas. And that's it. There is no other Mishnah. Now, I'm not saying this, the Gemara is saying this. I don't know all the Mishnayos in Shas. But there are only three Mishnayos in all Shas that have this language of Nidui, where someone's put into Cherem because it was a breach of Kavod Rav. So where's the other 21? Vesulek of Aikah, the Nir of Yosef. Now the Gemara here quotes a Braisa, and Tudus Yishromi, he niggas bene Romi, la achilam gedim, ukulasim, balele psachim. So the Braisa over here tells the story of Tudus, who was a Jew living in Rome, and all the Romans, all the Jewish Romans, the Italian Jews, so he got them to all eat roasted lamb on the Seder night. Now that sounds great, but it was after the Chorban Beis Hamikdash. And that creates a small problem, because now he wasn't saying it is the Karban Pesach, but let's remember the Karban Pesach, because once upon a time we had a Beis HaMikdash, and once upon a time we ate Karban Pesach. So we'll remember the Karban Pesach by doing this. However, the problem with this is it looks like we're eating Kachin B'chutz. So it was, you understand why he did it, but it wasn't, he shouldn't have done it. And again, the same type of language that was used by Shimon Meshetach in the Mishnah and Tanis vis-a-vis Chonah Magil is used over here. Look, I'd like to put you in Cherem. I'm not going to, but I'd like to put you in Cherem. Sha'ata machlas, you saw Kachin B'chutz. So because that's what you're doing, you're basically feeding Kachin B'chutz to the Jewish people. Okay, so we have now at least one other Mishnah. The problem is it's not a Mishnah. It's only a Braisa. Okay, so that's a Braisa, so that doesn't count. Because the statement of Yeshua ben Levi is that there are 24 places in the Mishnayos. So we're still only down to three. Here we get to the most famous oven in all of Shas. This oven is Tanur de Achnai. It's the snake oven. It is an oven that's made up of segments. And it was the adhesion that kept the segments together was sand. Okay, sand doesn't seem that adhesive, but okay, whatever the case is. It was segmented together, this oven. And the question is this oven Mekabel Tumah or it's not Mekabel Tumah? It's a machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. V'zehu Tanur Shachnai, and this is the famous Tanur Shachnai. Umay Achnai. Now, why do we refer to it as the Achnai? I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm a Shmuel, Malamed. Shikifu halachos ba'aka Achnai. V'zeh v'tim uhu. They surrounded the oven. It's as if the Chachamim surrounded this oven, kind of like a snake. It's a funny imagery. And they were mitame the oven. They declared the oven to be tame, even though Rabbi Eliezer thought the oven to be tahor, opined that the oven was tahor. And not only that, but when all the other Chachamim said to him, we don't agree with you, and we are the majority, and you are a minority, so he still held his position that the oven was tahor. And he had a number of miraculous events take place. We're all familiar with the Gemara Bamitzia, Daf Nentes, and he had a number of miraculous things that took place, including the Baskol coming out, and the Baskol declaring that the oven is in fact tahor. And we all know the famous response, Lo b'shamayim hi. Good. I'm happy that that's the Baskol's opinion, but that's not how we determine the halacha. The majority consent is that the oven is tamei, therefore the oven is tamei. V'tanya oso ayam ivil kol tarash shetir Rabbi Elazar v'sarfun lefanav. And not only that, but to make the point that Rabbi Eliezer is not the accepted position. Anything that Rabbi Eliezer was mitahir, they brought in front of him, and they burnt it in front of him. Over the sof parchu, and afterwards they were mevarechim. Don't take this literally. It means they put him in cherem. Fine. And so here we have now a Mishnah / Braisa that speaks about someone being placed in cherem. So the Gemara says, okay, maybe, but this doesn't qualify, because what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says is not only are there 24 places in Shas, but specifically using the word nidui. Okay, so it's true, they said barcheu, and we understand barcheu means that they put him in some form of cherem, but nevertheless, you don't see the word nidui, and we're looking for that. So we're now missing 21 Mishnayos and Shas, where we're looking for nidui, the word nidui, in the context of cherem. So now the Gemara asks the obvious question. So if we only found three and the 21 missing, so where are the 21 missing Mishnayos? So the Gemara says they're not missing. Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, Medam and Milsa LaMilsa. Rav Elazar, LaMedam and Milsa LaMilsa. So Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, he reads into the Mishnayos, meaning that whenever you see a Mishnah and you see a strong disagreement between Tanaim and the Mishnah, and one Tana says to a multitude of Tanaim, no, I don't agree with you, and this is what I think, and I think you're wrong. So, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi would count that as one of the Mishnayos. Even though it doesn't use the actual word Nidui, but it'll count that as one of the Mishnayos. And Rabbi Elazar says, no, that's not how I count. I'll only count the Mishnayos that actually use the word Nidui, which are only three in all of Shas. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. We're continuing in the Gemara. We're back to the Mishka, to the Mishnah. Ha'oskim be'hesped bizmancha ames mutal of name nishmatim echad echa v'karin es v'karin. Ein ames mutal of name hein yoshim v'karin v'hu yoshev v'domeim. Heim omdim umitzpalim v'hu omeid umatzik alav es haden. Now, if you're involved in a hesped and it's the time for Shema, so as long as the mace is in front of you, so you shouldn't say Kriya Shema right in front of the mace. So you should, what you should do, says the Braith, is slip away. Go away directly from the mace, say Shema, and then come back. And if the mace is not there, and if it's just you and the Avel, or in this case, we'll say it's the Onain, so you'll say Shema, and he'll do what's called Tzedek HaDin, the Omer. Now, what is actual Tzedek HaDin? So the simple explanation of Tzedek HaDin is understanding that what was done was right. Meaning it doesn't seem right, and of course it's very painful that you just lost a loved one. But Tzedek HaDin, Kadosh Baruch Hu knows. The Omer, and now, the Nusach of Tzedek HaDin, so don't pay careful attention right now, because this is not the accepted Nusach, and you'll see why in just a moment. Ribon Ha'olamim Harbecha Tosel Fanecha V'loni Freyti Mimeno Echad Minei Elef. I've done a lot of wrong in front of you, and this doesn't even represent a fraction of what I deserve, the loss I just suffered. You hear it's on Fanecha Hashem Elokeinu Shetizkor Pirtzos, Senu Pirtzos Kol Amcha Beis Yisrael Berachamim, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu should mend all the fences, close up all the fences. Right, the broken fences is a reference to loss and suffering, and Kadosh Baruch Hu should mend it and repair it. So Amar Abaye, so Abaye says, I don't like that nusach of Tzedek HaDin at all. Lo mi baile le inish le meimar hachi. That's not appropriate at all. Don't say that. Meaning, don't say I deserve more. Even if it may be true, just don't say it. We just read this Chazon Yishayo, first parak of Yishayo. So we said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, we're starting to behave like stone. We're like stone, a little bit like stone. What did the Navi Yishayo say to the Jewish people? Shimu Dvar Hashem Kitsine Sedom. Not only are you like the members of Sedom, you're like the generals, you're like the officers of Sedom. Now, the Mishnah says if you have enough time to say Shema, so say Shema. How much of Shema do you need to say? So, the Gemara says if you could say the entire Shema, so great. But if you can only say one parak or one pasuk, no. V'rimenu, the Gemara immediately jumps on that. The Braisa says that as long as you get to say one parak or even one pasuk of Shema, that will be sufficient. That will satisfy the mitzvah of Shema. So Hachinam, the Gemara says, Kamar, that's exactly what we meant. So, if you can, before you get to the Shura, that's the line where you get to comfort the mourner. So if you have an opportunity to say either a parak of Shema, which presumably means the first parak of Shema, or even just the first pasuk of Shema, so good, so you'll say it. And presumably what the Gemara means, of course, is that you'll fulfill the mitzvah Shema, and then you'll get in time for the Shura. You remember the first day of Brachos? I vaguely remember it. But the first off of Brachos, we had the following discussion. We wanted to know, how can we daven Maariv early? It's not a modern problem, it's an old problem. The Rishonim already were davening Maariv early, and it goes all the way back to the Yerushalmi, the Gemara Yerushalmi, Rashi quotes the Gemara Yerushalmi. They daven Maariv early. So how do you fulfill the Mitzvah Shema? Because we know the Mitzvah Shema is only after Tzeis HaKochavim. So how do you do that? So that was an issue. So Rashi says, well, there's Kriya Shema Lamita. You know that before you go to bed at night, so you say Kriyas Shema L'Amita. Now, granted, we only say the first paragraph of Kriyas Shema L'Amita, but Rashi says that's how we fulfill the mitzvah of Shema. That was Rashi. So you remember Tosfos over there was bothered. Four questions Tosfos asked against Rashi. One of the questions that Tosfos asked against Rashi is, but I don't understand. You want to fulfill your mitzvah of Shema. Isn't that going to require you to say all three paragraphs of Shema? And not just one paragraph? So how can you say Kriyas Shema L'Amita is going to satisfy your obligation of Shema when you only said one paragraph and not all three? That was one of many questions that Tosfos asks against Rashi. Our Gemara over here seems to support Rashi. Because our Gemara over here says that as long as you have time to say one paragraph or even one pasuk, you fulfilled your Shema, and now you can go to the Shura. Now you go be Menachem Avol. So, okay, I don't know how Tosfos is going to respond to this Gemara, but certainly our Gemara and Rashi doesn't defend himself, because one of the advantages that Tosfos has is that he can argue with Rashi, and he's not going to get any talk back from Rashi. It's not true. Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi had it out. And the Rashbam and Rashi had it out. So some of the early Bali Tosfos had it out with Rashi, but okay. So, but anyway, this Gemara certainly would be supportive of Rashi. Yates Amud Beis. We're on the top of the Amud. Ha'omdim b'shura, Tana Rabbanan Shura, ha'roa p'nima, p'tura v'sheina roa p'nima, chayeves. Now, you're in the Shura, you're going to be Menachem Avol. Now, the basic ideas we discussed yesterday's daf is that if you're in the middle of doing the mitzvah of Nichum Avelim, so then you don't say Shema. It's not the time to say Shema. You're involved in the mitzvah of Nichum Avelim. If you're, let's say, not the front row of the Shura, so now you're not in the active form of Nichum Avelim, so now you have to say Shema. So that's exactly what the Braisa says. So if you're row of Panima Petura, if you're in a row that sees the Panima, so it seems like you don't even have to be in the front row. As long as you have visibility of the mourner who's going to be walking through the Shura, so now you're in the business of Nichum Avelim. However, if you're so far behind in the row, there's so many people there, and you're so far behind the row, they don't even see you, so you're not really doing Nichum Avelim, so you say Shema. So, V'sheinu ro'a p'nima chayavas. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ha'bai machmas ha'avol, p'turah machmas ha'atzman chayavim. Rabbi Yehuda makes a very interesting distinction. If you're there for Nichum Avelim, meaning you're actually there to provide comfort for the one who just lost a loved one, so then you're exempt. But if you're there because you're just curious, right? You know what I mean. Something's going on. Everyone wants to see and take a look at what's going on. So here you have now. A lot of people seem to be gathered. I'm going there because I just want to see what's going on. So Rabbi Yehuda says, you're chayv. You're going to be obligated to Shema because you didn't come for the purpose of Nichum Avelim. Okay, interesting how intent becomes now an important role in determining whether you're Osek B'mitzvah or not Osek B'mitzvah. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav. Okay, and from this point to the bottom of the Zamba now, we're going to start a brand new topic, a very interesting topic, and that's the topic of Kavod Abrias. Kavod Abrias is extraordinarily important. It basically is the topic of human dignity. Right? We have to treat each other with respect. We have to treat ourselves with respect. And at times, we're going to qualify, and at times it even allows you to violate Isurim in the Torah in order to preserve Kavod Abrias. Okay, it's important, obviously. So the Gemara starts off with the following. Now, even though I gave a nice introduction, the Gemara is going to start off not where you would think we should start off. I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. I'm Motzi Klein B'Bigdol Poshtasan Afilo B'Shok. So you're wearing shatnez. Someone just lets you know you're currently wearing shatnez. That suit? Oh yeah, I just had that suit checked. That very exact suit that you're wearing. In fact, that was my suit, and that's why I gave it away. Whatever the case is, I know you're wearing shatnez. And so now, what's the halacha? Take it off. And Afilu b'shuk, and you're in the marketplace, and obviously it's not going to be that flattering that now you have to take off your suit in the marketplace, but it's shanes. You're not allowed to wear shanes, so you take it off. Oh boy, what happened to human dignity over there? So as I mentioned, we are not going to start off in the place that you would think we should start off in this discussion, to which the Gemara now is going to ask a number of questions. So my taima. Now, by the way, I give you an interesting question, which is a machlokas subject to machlokas rishonim. The Gemara's language is poshtasan afilu b'shuk. Take it off. Who's supposed to take it off? Now,
President sees the guy.
Oh, okay, fine. So I'll give you your two options. Your option number one is you yourself have to take it off if you now learn that you're wearing shatnez, or maybe what the Gemara means is somebody else who sees you needs to take it off. Now that second shot is very interesting, certainly more radical, that you have to be involved in someone else's isser, but that's not so crazy. Call Yisrael Raven Zebazeh, we're responsible for one another. But still, the idea that you have to rip off someone else's clothing, that's okay. So my the Gemara, but I'm pointing out the Gemara is not clear about that point.
That's embarrassment.
In other words, there's a big difference between embarrassing yourself versus someone else embarrassing you. Although the Gemara Baba Kama says you shouldn't even embarrass yourself in public. So either way, my time ain't chachma, ain't tfuna, ain't etzel neged Hashem. Meaning, because look, don't overthink it. It's very simple. You're wearing shanis, you're not allowed to wear shanis. It's an issa in the Torah. Good, so take it off. Okay, the ramifications are you're going to be embarrassed and it's going to be a breach of human dignity and you're going to be embarrassed. All that's true. But that's the pasuk. Ein chachma ve'ein tvuna ve'ein etzel neged Hashem. But good, but don't overthink it. The Torah says not to wear shatnez, so take it off. Now, kol makom she'eshchal Hashem ein chokin kavod l'rav. Okay. Meisvei, to now this, we're going to ask question after question after question. And basically, if I can give away the punchline, the answer is going to be pretty straightforward. Tomorrow we'll work it out a little more precisely. But right now, for today's daf, the distinction we're going to make is the araisas versus the rabbanans. Meaning, if it's an issa d'araisa, so then don't overthink it. Just do it. Even though there's going to be a breach of human dignity. If it's the derabanan, so then you can ignore it if kavod abrius is at stake. Okay. That's going to be today's distinction. Tomorrow we'll work on a different distinction, but that'll be just today. That's the punchline. Okay. But I gave the punchline away too early, but it's okay. Meisvei. Kavros a meisvei chazur v'lefneim beis derachim. Achas tahara v'achas tamea. Ba b'tahara b'animo b'tahara. Ba b'tamea b'animo b'tamea mishum kvodo. Okay. He's burying the dead, and now he's walking home. And there are two paths for him to walk home. One path is Torah, and the other path is Tamea. And if he walks down the Torah path, walk with him. If he walks down the Tamea path, walk with him as well. Now, even if it's a Kohen, and even though that would be a violation of a Kohen becoming Tamei. Okay. So, why are you walking home? Because Kavod Abrius, because of human dignity. He's an Avel, he's a mourner. You want to accompany him. So you see that because of Kavod Abrius, you can circumvent an Isser. So the Gemara says, Amai, Lema, and Chachma, and Vintuin, and Leged Hashem. So the Gemara says, okay, but it's an Isser. Cohen's not allowed to become Tameh. So what's going on over here? To which the Gemara answers, Tirgama Rabbi Abba Bebe Sapras, the Rabbanon. We're not talking about a real mace, a real bona fide mace. We're talking about the Beis Sapras. We just talked about it at the end of Masechta Nida. In the Samach area of the Gemara, it's just Beis HaPras. Remember Beis HaPras? You had a grave. It was somebody by accident plowed through the grave, spread the bits of the human remains throughout the field. And so now there possibly may be human remains lying around the field. That's and it's only an Issa D'Rabbanan to walk there. Okay, it's an Issa D'Rabbanan. You're not allowed to walk there, but if Kavod Abrius is at stake, Kavod Abrius will override the Beis HaPras. There are ways that you can walk through a Beis HaPras. This is straight out of the Gemara that we just did in Masechta Nida. You can actually get down your hands and knees and blow your way through the Beis HaPras. Right? The visual is very strange. It's going to take a lot of time. You can, if there's a path that's worn down through the Beis HaPras, you can walk through the path. Remember, the Beis HaPras, the only issue is bone chips. Bone chips are not going to give off Tumas Ohel. Bone chips will only give off Tumas Maga. So it's only going to be an issue touching the bone chips, not actually going over the bone chips. Tashma. Damar Avalaz, Rabzak Medagan Hainu Agabe Aronosho, Mesim Likras Machi Yisrael. V'lo Likras Machi Yisrael, Bavad Amru, El Afil Likras Machi Akum. Shim Yizke Yachim, Me Machi Yisrael, Machi Akum. You jump right over the coffins, and and if it's to visit a king, to see a king, and not just a Jewish king, but even a non-Jewish king as well. Second time in our Masechta, we talked about going to see a non-Jewish king. It's important to see a non-Jewish king so you know the difference between Jewish king versus non-Jewish king. David HaMelech talked about how he was different than all the other kings of the world. Good. So, and even if it means at the expense of a Kohen jumping over a coffin. So, the Gemara says, again, how do you understand this? Meaning, there may be Kavod Abrius over here, and what the Kavod Abrius is, I'm not, maybe just Kavod Abrius because it's important to see the king. I'm not sure how we're defining Kavod Abrius over here, whatever the case is. But you're violating an Isser in the Torah, how do you do that? So, Leima in Chachma Vein Tzvun Vein Eitzel Neged Hashem, that's exactly what bothers the Gemara. How can you do that? So kidravad amaravad var Torah ol kol sheish b'chalal tefach chotzitz b'fnei atumah v'shem b'chalal tefach eino chotzitz b'fnei atumah v'rov aronos yesh b'hem chalal tefach v'gazro sheish b'hem mishum she'ein b'hem. So the Gemara says, look, most of the aronos that you jump over is not going to be a problem. There will be a tefach, about 4 inches of airspace between the mace and the top of the aron. Now we know the basics of tumas ohel is that once there's a tefach of airspace, so the tumah gets to the roof, stops at the roof, spreads out below the roof, but doesn't go above the roof. So when you're jumping over an aron, most of the time you're fine. There's no tumah coming up from the aron. And now what's the concern? Some aronos don't have that halal tefach. Okay, but that's just a miyut. So in other words, we know in halacha you always work by rov. Since the majority of the time there is a safe tefach airspace between the mace and the top of the aron, so you're fine. And the chachamim over here enacted a gzera. Okay, it's interesting. This gzera is interesting. Normally we say lo shchiach, if it's something which is eno shchiach, the rabbis don't make a gzera. And if it's a miyut, maybe it's a miyut hamatsui. Okay. Whatever the case is, the rabbis made a gzera, but in other words, what the Gemara did again over here is reduce the Yisr from Nisa Daraisa down to Nisa Darabanan. And because of Kavan Malachim, so the rabbis did not make a gzera. Tashma gadol kavod abri shadoche lo sase shebetorah. Ve'amai le'men chachmai min tvun avin esel neged Hashem. So we have a brisa, and the brisa says that kavod abri is so important, it will override a lo sase in the Torah. Okay, so our distinction has been Daraisa. Don't think about it. Just do. Even though there's going to be covered abrius, which will be breaching covered abrius, it doesn't matter. And by derabanan, so then you take covered abrius into consideration. And meanwhile, this brisa says very clearly that it violates a low sasei. Ve'amai le'men chachmei min tuvun avin esel neged Hashem tikkum rav bar shiva kame derav kahana belav lo sasar. This brisa is not talking about general lavim in the Torah. It's talking about the lav of lo sasar. Right, this week's parsha, this morning, right? Do not deviate from the words of the chachamim, neither to the left nor to the right. Good, lo sasar. So achichu alei lav de lo sasar. So the Gemara says, sorry, achichu alei. So he said such a pshat in the brayso, and they made fun of him. They ridiculed him over that pshat. No, that's not the right pshat. So lav de lo sasar daraisa. So the Gemara says that's not daraisa. So amar rav kahana gav rav amar milsa lo sachichu alei. No, somebody great says something, don't mock, don't ridicule. Kol mila derabanan asmechino alav lo sasar. When the rabbis legislated, they were given license to legislate based on the pasuk of lo sasar. Meaning, in essence, it's midrabanan, but the pasuk that gives them the right to legislate is the pasuk of lo sasar. But really, fundamentally, it's derabanan. Mishum kvod asharu rabanan. But if it's a question of kavod abrios, if someone's dignity is at stake, so then you can bypass the rabbinic legislation, right? It's like a number of heterim that we have when it comes to derabanans. Safik derabanan lekula, and now we're going to add another one, which is that if it's kavod abrios will be doche the lo sasar of the isur of lo sasar, because it's really be'etzem, it's really fundamentally a derabanan, it's not a de'araisa. Okay. This will be our stopping place for today. Okay, so far today, we have covered basically two big topics. The first topic of today was a breach of kavod harav. And we talked today about the 24 places throughout Mishnayos where a person sent into cheren because of kavod harav. And the Gemara went through the Mishnayos that actually covered it. And then the Gemara pointed out that we only have 3 Mishnayos, where the other 21. Okay, that was a question which was pretty much left unanswered. Then we talked a little bit specifics about our Mishnah in terms of who exactly is exempt from saying Shema when they're performing the mitzvah of Nicham Avelim. And then the Gemara goes on to the big discussion of Kavod Abrios. For now, for today, with the distinction we made in the Gemara is Daraisa versus Darabanan. If it's an Issa Daraisa, so Kavod Abrios is not taken into consideration. In other words, the first case we discussed is, you know you're wearing shatnez, you got to strip down of your clothing, even though you're in public, even though you're in the shuk, right? It's an Issa Daraisa versus all the derabanans that we've set up until now, where if it's just a derabanan, so then kavod abrios is going to override an Issa derabanan. Okay, that's today. Okay.